The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m., and if you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
A message is about vision, 2020 vision unseen, 2020 vision unseen, and what you haven't seen before and what we need to open our eyes to see. So as a text we're using, 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 through 18. When the servant of the man of God, now let me back up just a little bit. This is Elisha. There's a battle that's ensuing and about to take place. And so that's where this kind of picks up. You'll have to go read the whole thing for yourself to get all the detail. But when the servant of the man of God got up, he went out early the next morning. An army with horses and chariots has surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he might see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the servant's eyes, and he looked and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down towards him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, "Strike this army with blindness." And he struck them with blindness, as Elijah had asked. Father, we thank you for your word. It is indeed meat and drink unto us. We ask that as we study this morning, that your Holy Spirit would teach us the things that we need to know. That when we leave here, we'll say, surely the Lord was in this place. And what the Lord wanted to speak to the church, we will have heard it, our ears open, and our spirits willing to receive what you have to say. This is our prayer, Father, in the precious name of Jesus. And all the children said, amen. Amen. We need to see what we haven't seen before in order to be effective in the kingdom. With our eyes, we see failure. But with our spirit, we see victory. With our eyes, we see poverty. But with our spirit, we see prosperity. With our eyes, we see hateful people, but with our spirit, we see hope. And with our eyes, we see religion, but with our spirit, we see the kingdom. So there's a different way of looking, and we need to ask God to give us that vision so that we can see. In our story, this servant of Elijah didn't see what the man of God saw. But when his eyes were open, he was astounded at what God was doing. So let's look through the prism of God and see what it is that we haven't seen correctly. We've been looking with the eyes of the world instead of looking with the eyes of the Spirit. So 2020 vision sees time when it's midnight. Mark 1:15, the time, kairos, and that's a Greek word, I'll explain that in a minute. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. The clock on the wall measures the time of the universe, the planets around the sun, the earth around spinning on its axis, the moon around the earth. Those are all measured in time. We've kind of found ways to measure it. They used to use sundials. Use a lot of different ways, just watching the shadows fall in different places, gave them an idea of what time was like. But we have the advantages of clocks that are very, very accurate. We have atomic clocks that can measure time to a decimal point that I have no idea, but with great accuracy. But there are two words in Greek that describe time, and most of you have heard this before, chronos, which is chronological time, that's where we get that word from. It's sequential time, it's what we see on our clocks. And there's kairos, which signifies an opportunity time for action, or as the scripture uses it quite often, in the fullness of time. It's that special time that's not dependent upon the clock. The clock says time is running out. It destroys visions. We feel like we've missed God. You know, we feel like the situation is hopeless. Only have so many hours left, or so many days left. As we just experienced this morning, just talking about this lady came back for 3 days. Bob's wife came back for several weeks before she graduated and went home. I just told a story this past week about a man who had cancer and was healed, and he lived for probably 50 or 60 years after that. That's thinking with the eyes of a man, thinking with the eyes of a clock. God doesn't look at time in that respect. As you well know, God lives in the eternal now. Time and place are created things. You can think of it as a rectangle. God created that rectangle and everything in it. That's place. He also created time. And we measure things in time. How long will it take to get there? I've been here this long. But it's a very limiting thing, because we feel that time is running out. What do? The doctor gives you a bad diagnosis and he says, you've only got 3 months or 3 weeks or 3 years to live. And so that's the way we think. And we have great difficulty understanding a place with no time. You want to get a headache? Here's a good place to get a headache. Just try to think of God being eternal, that he has no beginning and no end. Your mind can't do it. You can try as much as you want to imagine God not having a beginning, and you can't get there. No, even the universe, we know, has a beginning. Now, the scientists have tried to figure that out for some time. The closest they've gotten is the Big Bang Theory. It was a Big Bang. God said, let there be, and there was, all right? So, in time, Chronos time, will hinder our action. We'll say it's too late to do something. I should have done it, but it's too late. I could have gone, but I didn't make it. I'm too old. Miss Rose said, talking about age, I'm too old. The way God looks at things, he said our latter days will be greater than our former days. You know? He takes somebody like, in fact, this was encouraging. I just read this the other day. Took Moses at 80 and started using him. That means I'm just getting started. You know, wow, I'm about ready to get rolling here. Get going. You like that, huh, Charles? Yeah, we're just getting started here. It says it's too bad. It's too bad. You should have been here. If you had only been here. If I'd only gotten there. So that's Chronos time, and it's a very hindering thing in the kingdom of God. What we need to see is the will of God, which is Chronos time, where there is life, there is time. As long as there is life on this earth and God hasn't returned and ended this life as we know it and taken us all into heaven where we're living the eternal now with God, as long as there is life, that should energize our faith. We are not too late. You go to pray for someone and in a coma, it's not too late. You know, you should have done something. It's not too late. You're not too old to accomplish what God wants to accomplish. It energizes our faith because the kingdom is here. See what this says? The chronos, the time of God is come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. So as long as the Holy Spirit is here, as long as God still is working with man upon the planet, as long as that exists, there's hope. We don't need to give up. As long as there's life, as long as your brother, as long as he's alive, there's hope. Once you die and he doesn't receive the Lord and he rejects it, it's too late. But as long as God is around, people like Jerry can be saved. At the very last hour of their life, they can be saved and be turned around. Had a man up in Alaska that I met many years ago. He was a backslidden preacher. You know, he wasn't backslidden that he got in a lot of sin. He just gave up. Too many sheep turned out to be goats and bit him too bad. He chucked it all, moved from Arizona or Nevada, where he lived, and moved up to Alaska. And that's where I met him many years afterwards. And when I met him, he was having a few drinks, probably a few too many. He wasn't going to church. He wasn't praying. He wasn't doing anything. And when I met him in the computer business, he let me know very early on that he wasn't interested in anything that I had to say. Well, that's too bad. You don't have to be interested in what I have to say. That doesn't mean I won't say it. Just because you're not interested. And I was just myself dealing with him. And over a period of years, I just led my life, shared with him as I could. And one day, after about 5 years, I got a phone call from him. It was Sam. He said, I just wanted you to be the first to know I've decided to go back to Jesus. He said, I'm going to church. He said, I'm taking my family to church this Sunday, and I wanted you to know. Thank you for being faithful so that I could hear. Well, he lived about a year after that, and he died. So it's never too late, okay? In God's economy, God can do things that we can't do. Chronos time will energize us into action where we won't have fear. Sometimes we're afraid. Well, I'm afraid to talk to my son one more time. I'm afraid to talk to my brother one more time. I'm afraid to go to Washington, D.C. I don't want to go in the swamp. There's all kinds of swamp creatures out there. I don't want to be there, you know. But faith overcomes fear. Say, Lord, I'm going. You know, somebody who wants to, maybe is afraid to fly. But they know God wants to take them someplace, and they go. I heard David Jeremiah. It kind of surprised me, those of you who know David Jeremiah. I know I talk about him often because I really admire his ministry. And he's talked about when he was a young person, he was afraid to fly. Even though he's a believer, he was afraid to fly. But God overcame his fear because he had a ministry to fulfill, and he needed to fly wherever God wanted him to go. And now he flies all over the world spreading the good news. So fear is overcome by God. Vision 2020 moves us from thinking about the clock, chronos, to thinking about God, kairos, and we see the kingdom is now. Don't be afraid. Believe, it says, believe the good news. Repent. You know, I've told you that word is not what you're thinking of. It's not sorrow and remorse in tears and sackcloth and ashes. It literally means changed thinking. And when you apply that here, it says, change your thinking and believe the good news. If we change the way we think, we'll change what we see and do, what we believe, and it'll change the things that we do. Change the way we think, which will change what we believe, and we will change the things that we do, okay? So that's what change thinking is all about. You cannot, listen to me, beloved, you will never see the kingdom of God thinking with the mind of man. Because the thing that God is doing has not entered into the heart of man, has not entered into the mind of man. Man hasn't thought it, hasn't seen it, hasn't touched it, hasn't felt it. But in the kingdom, great things are possible. Amen? Amen. So we're going to change the way that we think about some things. The next thing I want to talk to you about in changing our ways is Vision 2020 sees hope where there's desperation. Let's go back and kind of peel back a little bit more the scripture that we read in 2 Kings. When the servant of the man of God got up, let's stop right there for a minute. This servant is like a lot of church folks. They're real close to the man of God, but they're still living in the world's thinking, with the world's thinking. You see that? One of the greatest prophets ever to walk the earth, Elijah, he was a servant to the man of God. He got up and went out early the next morning, and an army with horses and chariots has surrounded the city. Put yourself back a couple of thousand years, or be contemporary, and Slidell has just been surrounded by a massive army. And they're going to invade us. And they're going to take away everything that we have. They're there. And you can see them. That's what he saw. That's what he saw. But he was looking with the vision of a man, and he cried out, "My Lord, what shall we do?" My Lord, he was talking to Elijah. He wasn't shouting out to God. "No, my Lord, what shall we do?" So the question is, what should you do? What can you do? Hold that thought. Don't be afraid. The first thing you do is bury fear. Fear is paralyzing. Fear will keep you from doing anything. You won't. Your physician will appreciate this. "I'm afraid to go to the doctor because of what he might tell me." Duh! You won't go to the doctor because you're afraid of what he might tell you? He might tell you that diet and exercise. Those two words we all hate to hear. He might tell you, "Take this pill and it'll make you better." "Well, I don't like to take medicine." Take the pill and get better. Get over it. You pray, but, sometimes, overcome your fear of things. "I don't want to go see my brother or my friend or someone who hurt me or someone I hurt. I don't want to do that." And fear stops you. "I don't want to go pray for the sick. What if I go pray for them and they don't get better?" Duh. You do your job and let God do his. You're not responsible to heal anyone. You're only responsible to pray. Somebody's hurt and wounded and bleeding. Somebody's got to go on a Jericho road and help those who are hurt. "Well, Pastor, that's not my job. That's not my ministry." "Oh, really? Well, that's what all the other folks said who walked by the guy who was wounded and bleeding along the road. Because they had other things to do, including a minister." Don't be afraid to do what God will ask you to do. I wrote an article for the newspaper last week, I believe it was, and talked about this issue of, will God put you in a dangerous place? The answer is absolutely yes. Sure he will. Why would you be different than anybody else? But you'll never be in any danger when you're in God's will, doing what God's called you to do. You won't be in any danger, but you will be in a dangerous place. Was Paul and Silas in a dangerous place? Absolutely. The federales threw them in a jail. It wasn't a sweet jail where they come around and give you three meals a day, where you got people watching over you, where you got a cot to lay on, you got a commode, you got water. No, they put you in a jail. It was a hole in the ground. There wasn't any nicety. And if family or friend didn't bring you food and water, you probably wouldn't get anything. That was your responsibility of family and friends, not of the jail to take care of you. Were they in danger? They were in a dangerous place. They put them in the stocks because they thought that they were dangerous. The jailer thought they were dangerous. And what happened? At midnight, what were they doing? Praising God, worshiping God. And what happened? The jail doors, an earthquake came, the jail doors broke open, the chains were broken off of them, the stocks were broken off of them. And what would you have done? Same thing I'd have done. I'd have hot-footed for the door. I'd have been trying to get out of there. They just stayed around. The jailer showed up, in the midst of all of that. And he's about to kill himself because he thought they escaped. They had escaped. And the voice in the darkness cried out, "Don't harm yourself. We're here." See, God did a miracle. They praise God in the midst of a dangerous place. So don't be afraid. Desperation is destroyed when 20/20 vision replaces fear. Two men looking at the same direction, seeing different things. The servant saw an army. The man of God saw God at work. Look for God at work in your life and the places around you. You'll miss opportunities to see God do wonderful things if you won't ask this question. God, what do you want me to see? God, like that old song goes, open my eyes that I might see. I want to see what you have for me. The man of God saw God at work. What do you see in a time of trouble? What do you see? Do you see the destruction? Do you see destruction? Do you see your home in destruction? Do you see your house being taken away from you? Do you see your indebtedness hurting you? Do you see your family in disarray and in sickness and falling away? Some of you got kids. You couldn't get into church unless you put a gun to their back. You know? Some of you wonder about, what are my kids going to do? You know, I brought them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Or maybe you got saved when you were older and you didn't bring your kids to church when they were 2, 3, 4, 5 years old. They weren't brought up in the house of the Lord. You know, do you see that as a hopeless situation? What about your finances? Did you run out of checks before you ran out of deposit slips? You know, is your checkbook empty? Do you not have enough money? Do you see our nation hopeless? Do you see the division that's going on is hopeless? Do you see the impeachment of the president? If you see that as hopeless, that's desperation. That's destruction. Or do you see like the man of God, and do you see your enemies being destroyed? Do you see demonic powers being brought down? Do you see sickness disappearing? Do you see faith overcoming fear? There's one of two actions you can take whenever you're afraid. You can do like the lady did in the musical, The King and I. Whenever I'm afraid, I whistle a happy tune. Well, honey, whistling will only carry you so far. You know, when you're going down, whistling will only take you so far. You can whistle all the way to the bottom of the sea, and you'll still drown. Or you can shout in the name of the Lord and rebuke the evil around you. You know, resist the lies, resist the circumstance. Somebody said, you know, how was that question? How are you doing? Under the circumstances, I'm doing pretty good. What are we doing under the circumstances? We don't have to live under our circumstances that surround. Everybody's got trouble. You find me somebody that doesn't have any trouble, I'll show you a saint that went to heaven. The rest of us, we got trouble. You know, and the older you get, the more trouble you got. You know, you wake up, oh man, where'd that come from? I didn't even know I had one of those things. And it hurts now. You know? You just found out that your 401k turned into a 201.5 minus. You know, the stock market, people. You know when we had the crash in 2008, you know, and everybody's stock went down? If you had any stock, and, you know, the value of your house disappeared, and, you know, jobs were disappearing. Where's the faith to believe that God could deliver us out of those things? To believe Him. Well, I'm going to, you know, I don't have enough money to make it all the way to retirement. Good, probably God will kill you early and take you home so you won't have to worry about it. Is that what you want? Well, you want to trust the Lord to take care of you. Amen. You know, He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Surely He can cut out some of the herd for you. Take care. Oh, well, you know, I don't believe God will do that. Well, just go ahead and live your life the way you want. I believe God will provide. Amen. I know, I'm like Paul in some ways. I've learned to live in abundance and I've learned to live in want. I'd rather have abundance than want, but I've been in want. I've been there, and I'm not going through the story when I owe $300,000. More than that, when my bank business was going bankrupt, God intervened. You know how He intervened? I am telling the story. He intervened with a flood. Flooded out my office, destroyed all my computer equipment, put me out of business. Even my telephone didn't work. God showed up in the face of a man who knew me and showed me how to use my insurance, took care of it. It was all said and done. I was completely out of debt. God got me completely out of debt by flooding my office. How did He do that? By faith, we just trusted the Lord. Amen. just trust the Lord. I told Pat when we were, our business was in such trouble, I said, honey, we can lose it all. I'm talking about losing our house, losing our cars, losing everything. And Pat, she's a great woman of faith. She said, well, we'll start over again. We'll keep going. And I said, I believe God's going to take care of us. It was the next week when our office flooded. Just when things couldn't get worse, they got worse. And that's the situation you see right here in the scripture. Shout and claim the victory.
Amen.
Let praise go forth. You know in the scriptures it said what? Judah went first. Judah means praise. We praise God. Lord, if I don't have any money, if my health fails, no matter what takes place, if my children, if I never see with my eyes my children coming home, I will with my last dying breath praise you and believe you. Beloved, if that's the way you live, you'll see victory in your life. You'll have the right kind of vision. You will be the man and woman of God. You will see what others do not see. I want to read you a story. There's an organization, I just found out about it, and it's called Court Steps Ministry, Courtside Ministry. And what they do is they set up a little table outside of courthouses. Excuse me. I get emotional and I'm into my eyes run. I get excited. I'm just a human being, all right? But they set up a little table outside of a courthouse. This is operating in 21 states right now. And when people are going in or coming out of the courthouse, nobody's in a good mood. You know, it's things are bad. Lawyers, you know, defendants, witnesses. And they got a little sign that says, need prayer? And they got Bibles they give people. And people stop by the droves for prayer. This is one of the stories. It was in the Chicago Tribune newspaper. A great day, December 25th, 2013, when this took place. It didn't matter how many times Elaine Cornett walked in and walked out of the criminal courts building without saying hello. The volunteers for the courthouse ministry of Chicago, who prayed outside every day, would not give up. A little Kronos vision, all right? Sure enough, one day, Cornett stopped. And that day, she says, changed her life. Cornett left behind years of drug use and prostitution and shed the ankle bracelet monitor that tracked her for 11 months and set her out to become what she now believes God always intended for her. I was really, really in denial, said Cornett, now 53 and a home health aide. I needed obedience and guidance. I moved around to another area and never looked back. For me to be able to just up and change my lifestyle, I was delivered by the hand of God. They really blessed me. A woman in desperation, people with vision who were there, prayed for her. She walked by many times, but she finally stopped one day and was saved and delivered, and her life is eternally changed. That's when hope springs up in the midst of desperation. Don't ever give up on God, because you know the rest of that? Because God never gives up on you. All right? Vision 2020 sees resources where there's fear. Verses 17 and 18 in 2 Kings chapter 6. And Elijah prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he might see. See, Elijah knew he wasn't seeing. Because you know what? There's the enemy's got to surround us. And the man of God knew he wasn't seeing right. And when people come to you, or when you feel this way yourself, and you're feeling fear, and you feel surrounded, remember, you're not seeing correctly, that there's more to be seen. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the servant, so when your eyes are open spiritually, and he looked and he saw the hills, I love this, full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. Elijah was the epicenter of the deliverance for the people of God. He was there, standing, if you will, almost alone. As the enemy, now look, with the eyes of man looking now, as the enemy came toward him, so it's going to get worse. It's getting worse for him. They're not just out there surrounding him. They're moving in. You know, death and destruction are right here. As the enemy came down toward him, Elijah prayed to the Lord, strike this army with blindness. A little authority, a little faith, a little believing God in the impossible situation. And he spoke words of faith. And what happened? So he struck them with blindness as Elijah asked. You have not because you ask not. Believe for the impossible. What the servant's eyes saw did not change the circumstances. The vision of his eyes being opened only changed what he saw. Let me explain that in a practical way. You get a bad diagnosis. It's not good. Doctor said, I don't know. Maybe we can help, maybe we can't. We'll do our best. No. We're going to do our best. That's the reality. You got cancer. You got a heart problem. You got a physical malady of some kind. That's a reality. But we don't live in the real world alone. We trust in God. And we believe in God. And we Joanne Manuel, let me give you a real case. Joanne Manuel, who goes to this church, and she's not here right now because she's sick. She's in a coma. She was delivering her baby, had a massive stroke. She was 18 years old, I think, at the time. I was with her husband. The doctor came out and said, son, your wife is dying. Go in and tell her goodbye. And this man of faith said, I don't believe she's going to die, doctor. I believe by faith she's going to be fine. The doctor said, I understand. He looked at me because I was older and I was there. He said, tell this young man what's going on. I said, doctor, I understand what you're saying. And you know physically what's happening. But I'm going to agree with him that his wife's going to live. Doctor got very frustrated. He just walked away from us. So we went into where Joanne was, and she was comatose. I mean, she was not in good shape. And the doctor had told us that if she lived, she had so much damage done that she'd be a vegetable for the rest of her life, if she lived. And she's not going to live. We went in, we prayed over Joanne, and we believed, and nothing happened. Nothing happened for about 4 months. In the medical profession, believed she was going to die. Now, this was quite a few years ago. I think they do things differently now. But they didn't try to move her or move her muscles or legs or arms or anything. Joanne woke up. And when she woke up, her mind is crystal clear. Not a thing wrong with her. Because she didn't get physical therapy while she was in the coma, her muscles atrophied. So when they first got her up, she was in a wheelchair, she couldn't walk, her hands were bent in like this, but through therapy and she had to do some surgeries, she got to the place, and you've seen it, she walked in this place. Now she's getting older now, and she's got some other issues that have nothing to do with that first issue, but there is a situation where what the eyes saw, the reality, I mean, it was real, but by faith, her husband believed that she would be okay. Now, what I could have done, I could have said, Joanne's going to die, buddy. Let's just go tell her goodbye. I could have said that. But I piggybacked on his faith and said, I believe what you said, and God did it. Does it happen that way all the time? No. I went in when a little baby had been beaten by its dad. The baby was just several months old. It's a terrible story. I had to go down to New Orleans, walked in. The doctors, one of the most amazing things, doctors and attendants were around this little baby in that little crib, and trying to incubate it, trying to do something for the child. And when we got there, another minister and myself, they just opened up for us. I mean, they just moved out of the way. And they were so pleased we were there. And we prayed for that baby, anointed it with oil. The baby died. You know? But the baby went home. All right? The baby went home. So, but what we need to be is the people of faith who look differently. Try to look differently at a situation. Don't give up. God had more resources than the enemy. There was more of God's army there than was the enemy's army, but they couldn't see it. Are you getting this? Are you understanding what I'm saying? That we need to pray for our eyes to be open? Look at a situation and say, God, let me see what you see. Let me believe what you believe. Let me trust in your resources and not my resources. When we do that, things change. Elijah took action. He prayed. You know, I hate it when I do this, and I know others. You've done it too. You said, well, all we can do is pray. Prayer is the first thing we ought to be doing. And then everything else comes in behind that. They prayed, strike the enemy with blindness. It was that enemy received physical and spiritual blindness. They couldn't see, and they were destroyed. God responded to a man's faith request. Ask God. Ask him. Whatever you need, ask God for it. Don't be afraid to ask God. And don't make excuses for God. You know, like, well, I just had this situation happen to me. A guy's got a bad diagnosis, and I won't tell you who he was because you'd know who he was if I told you. And I don't want to say his business publicly. I know this is going on the radio, and I don't want it said who he was. But I told him, you know, he's a man of faith. And I said, let's just believe God. He said, well, I believe God can heal me, but God's will be done. And I told him, God's will is for you to be healed. Over and over it says, pray for the sick. You know, and it's, you know, to get a bottle of oil, anoint him with oil. God wants to heal, all right? So don't give up on God and say, well, it's God's will. God's will be done, beloved. I promise you that. But that doesn't mean we give up. You know, God can, you can get, I'm going where I don't want to go. Go where no man has gone before. No, our fathers have gone. Don't worry about what God's going to do. God can change his mind. He's done it. Guy was going to die. Be given a death sentence. You know, you are going to die. You are not going to be here. And the guy cried out to the Lord and said, Lord, would you just give me some more time? And God gave him, I believe, 15 more years.
Yes.
You know?
Hezekiah,
thank you. I couldn't remember his name. It wasn't in my notes. I wasn't planning on preaching on him. You know? And you got a good mind for a lady your age of 30 Celsius. Yeah, there you go.
My daddy's like when they said he was going to die, and God gave him 7 more years.
There you go. Well, this guy got 15 more years. So God can change his mind. And then your theologians, or wherever you are out there listening to him, you say, oh, well, that's not theologically correct because God is an omni. He's an omnipresent, and he's an omni this. Listen, I don't live in the omnis. I live in the real world. And the way I look at it, God changed his mind.
Amen.
All right? Say, well, he lived anyway. You can believe that if you want. I choose to believe God intervened.
Amen.
Why else do we pray?
That's right.
If you're not expecting God to change the circumstances. You know, you can be like the Calvinists who believe, you know, everything's preordained and predestined. If everything's preordained and predestined to happen, let's just throw in a towel. I'm not doing anything. It's like the Presbyterian fell down the flight of stairs, and when he got up, he wiped his forehead. Glad I got that one over with. Think about that for a while. It'll make sense to you, all right? If you're Presbyterian out here, so I'm not talking about the Presbyterian. It's just predestination thing, and I don't want to go there, all right? But I just believe in the power of God. And we need to. I'm going to show you one last thing, and I'm going to close with this. Maybe. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let me show you some of the things that will help your vision. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have what kind of power? Divine power to do what? Demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension, one translation says, every imagination that sets itself up against what? The knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. I used to get this wrong. I used to think we were talking about taking the enemy's thoughts captive. We're taking our own thoughts captive. We're captivating our thoughts in the way we think. We're changing the way we think. We're repenting. We're thinking differently. We're going to trust God. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. Use those weapons. Pray for the sick. Anoint him with oil. Speak words of faith. And trust and believe God. And do your job. Leave the results to God. But don't leave the results to God and don't intervene. That gets you back to faithless life. We are the people of God, and we believe and live by faith. Amen? It is impossible to please God without faith. Without faith, it's impossible to believe God. For those that come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who, you like this word? Diligently seek Him. Oral Roberts had a good friend who was in the hospital, dying. He got called to the hospital bed. The guy's daughter was there, and he went in, and it was a dear friend of his, and he said he was trying to, you know, comfort the daughter, and he was, just brokenhearted himself. He said he was getting ready to leave. He said, let's got in a little circle and prayed and asked for God's help and deliverance, and said he turned and said an amen and walked out the door. He said he's walking down the hospital hallway, and the daughter came running after him, grabbed him by the arm and spun him around. He said, Oral Roberts, you go back in there and you pray for my daddy like you believe God can do something, and don't give me none of those little two-bit prayers you got. I want a prayer of faith. He said, it's so surprising. We went back in, prayed for him, prayed a prayer of faith, and the guy got healed. See? Sometimes you got to pray more than once and be diligent and believe in your prayers. Come on, folks. This is Christianity 101. You know, just believe God and trust God and just see what God can do. I got some situations in my own life that I'm praying for, and I know you do too. All right? Let's all stand. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We bless you, Lord, and we praise you, and we thank you. Thank you for your word that you've inspired men of old to inscribe and to preserve that word down through the ages so that we can have it here today in this room. And we believe it, Lord. Believe it, Lord. Help us, Lord, to believe and trust you. Let us have a heart and a mind and a vision like this prophet, Elijah, and we might see you at work in the midst of all situations. And let us cry out to you for the victory over our enemies, whatever they may be. And Father, let us see victory in our lives. Lord, as we're on this path and we're preparing ourselves to see you clearly and to hear you, and so we know your voice and we'll hear your words, and that we might be witnesses of the great deliverance that you bring. We trust you, Lord, and we believe in you. Where is no other God? You are our God. You are the chain breaker. Break the chains off our minds. Break the chains off our eyes. Break the chains off our ears. Break the chains off our wrists. Break the chains off our feet, that we might be free to do what you've called us to do. We love you, Lord. We bless you, and we pray in the glorious name of Jesus, our Savior. And the church said, amen. 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 You are dismissed in the name of the Lord. If you need prayer or something, I'm up here. I'll be glad to pray for you. In Jesus' name, amen.